You read the Bible, Greg.
Talking to me?
I'm a law samurai. Keep up.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, there's
so what you want?
Jesus freak.
Got a bad feeling about this.
King Kong ain't got shit on me!
Do I really look like a guy with a plan?
Each and every man under my command owes me 100 natural scouts.
Start see pictures, ain't you?
Oh, wow. Thank you for that.
Hello and welcome to the Film and Loathing Podcast for Saturday, October 30th, 2021. This is episode number 118, and I'm Jake.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Zach.
Coming up is our fourth spooktacular special Halloween event. We're gonna be talking the five Universal monster movies. We got Dracula coming up. We got The Mummy, Invisible Man, The Wolfman. We got The Creature from the Black Lagoon. So, thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. Happy Halloween to all you ghouls and goblins out there. How are you two doing this week?
Well, we got a cat yesterday.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
Do you even like cats?
No, I hate cats. I think they're useless creatures.
But, so Autumn got a cat, and you're just forced to live with it?
Well, so what happened was...
There's a story?
Like, messaged her. I guess her coworker lives, like literally in the middle of, like, nowhere, like, in the woods.
Yeah.
And she said that she found, like, a kitten, like, on her road.
Okay.
We were led to believe that someone basically just dumped it there because they didn't want it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, I can't know that and then not take it. So I was like, yeah, like let's take it. So now we have a cat.
What a good heart.
It's orange.
Ew.
Its name is Ginger.
No, I'm just kidding.
Aptly named. I thought maybe you fell for one of those, like, have you seen those tweets of, like, cats with awful names at adoption shelters so that people come and take them?
No.
I'm trying to quickly scroll through Twitter because I saw, oh, yeah, here we go. So there's, this cat's name is Joanne Fabric and Craft. Let's see. We got this cat whose name is Evil Soup.
Whoever owned these cats are fucking awful, dude.
Oh, this cat's name is Mrs. Worldwide. Yeah, this cat's name is Good Soup. So, yeah. Oh, this little beautiful creature is Kraft American Single.
That's a good name for this cat. Kraft American Single.
This cat's name is Good Soup.
Oh, so this cat's name is Miko Dash Chooses Violence. So yeah, follow Pet Finder names on Twitter for good comedy like that.
Is it freshly named, or is that like a name that like you found goes with the cat or something? Or like who named the cat, I guess?
I thought it was like a marketing thing where people would feel bad that these cats had, or these animals had these awful names, so people would come and adopt it so they could change the name.
Mm-hmm. The cat doesn't know.
To completely honest with you, there's no way I'm changing the name of Kraft American Single. There's no way.
No. Who named the cat? Ginger.
Oh, Autumn picked the name.
Undead. Nice, dude.
I'm surprised you didn't let Noah pick the name.
Well, then its name would be like Venom. or
perfect. That's a great name.
Or good soup.
He'd try to name it like Charizard, which I guess I'd be fine with that. But
Charizard would be a badass cat name.
Yeah,
but it's a girl.
So there are female Charizards.
I don't think that's true.
I think that is true. I'm looking this up though.
Yeah, we don't really see a lot of mating in the Pokemon world.
A lot of genitalia either, so.
Not a lot of fun in Pokemon.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's 12.5% female in the Charizard population. Here's a question, then.
Are we led to believe that in the Pokemon universe, there are just wild Charizards that like are just flying around?
Sure.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, they obviously have to evolve from a, you know, Charmander, but...
So how are there not, like, more news stories about, like, Charizards burning down villages?
Because they're not, like, Smaug. It's not like they're after the humans' hordes of gold.
Well, we don't really know what they are undomesticated.
It also doesn't help that I think news travels pretty fat or pretty slow in the Pokemon world.
Sure, I would say that, like...
That's Mom's letter.
I would say the mere existence of humans on this world is proof enough that the Charizard are not lethal creatures. They're not, like, aggressively lethal.
Huh? Isn't there something about how Pokemon, though, are naturally peaceful and it's the humans that train them to fight?
God, what a stupid commie trade that show has.
I could be making that up. I don't actually know.
You say commie trait?
Yeah.
don't label me a commie. I don't actually know.
Well, I guess that's not fair to say. It's Japanese, not Chinese, so they have a democracy. We're fine.
For now.
Until the Charizard's
I'm just saying, the weak shall rise. And the labor forces shall be seized by the public.
Did you say the weak shall rise?
Yes. I did.
The weak should fear the strong.
You all right there, Chris?
Well, I was just thinking, my gosh, it's crazy that Zach is saying the weak shall, or the weak should fear the strong. He is hard right Jay, I guess. So, like... He is one of those alpha males.
Chris, who do you think could win in a fight, you or Zach?
I would kick Zach's ass.
I don't know about that.
I think I would.
I don't know about that.
I think I could take you... Here's what I will say.
Each of you have 30 seconds to present your argument. Go.
If the fight goes longer than... The
Rousey, so you really think I couldn't take you?
Here's what I will say. Zach, the longer the fight goes, the better chance Zach has. Exactly. But I don't think it gets to a point where it's a long fight.
Chris, all I can say is that I can dance with the best of them.
Who is the best of them?
I'm just saying, this fight's going 12 rounds. And you in the 12th round is a nightmare. You're gasping.
You think me getting to the 12th round is a fucking nightmare? I'm not making it to the 12th round, whether I've knocked you out or not.
You're wheezing when we get to round 6, so.
I'm down once we round get to round
6. I collapse, round 4 sorry. Is wheezing.
I'm hitting face to the pavement. Like, that's me. Four, five, six.
Like, you're on oxygen, so it's really all I've got to outlast.
All I'm saying is if Vince Wilfork needs an oxygen shank after sprinting 60 yards downfield after making an interception, if I have to go for a full-blown fist fight with you over 4 to 5 rounds of straight tussling, I might need an oxygen tank too.
Actually, I went to the trampoline park last weekend with Noah, and I have to say, I was about dead afterwards.
Well, yeah.
That's rough. Ooh,
it's probably all those are backwards catching up with you.
You both are gasping after round 1.
That's what I'm saying. Zach's not making it 12 rounds either. Like, I don't know why he's talking a big game.
No, I could make it 12 rounds.
No, you could not, dude. You'd get like, I would admit, I would go around 4 or 5, but I think once you get to like round 6, 7, you're done.
How long's a round?
3 minutes, 5 minutes?
Three minutes?
So 12 minutes? I don't know.
That's a long time of just like straight tussling. Plus, like, it's not like in a street fight, which I assume where this isn't like a structured, you know, boxing bout. We're doing this on the street, like on like you know, backyard Kimbo Slice style.
We're doing this in bare feet in the snow.
Fucking the gray style. I smash the little bottles and I have them tucked in my fingers, and I'm. If we're allowed a weapon, you're done in a heartbeat.
Why? My weapon would be a gun.
Yeah, my weapon would be a bulletproof suit. So
that's not a weapon.
That's a weapon. I can attack you. It's heavy.
That's a poor choice of weapon.
You say that until I catch your bullet in my bulletproof suit and I take you down to the ground and I'm hitting you. Or Wonder Woman's bracelet. My weapon would be a catapult. Done. Fucking catapult. Good luck setting up that shit by yourself. A preloaded catapult where you get one shot, and then if you miss me, like, that's it.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna miss you.
That's fair. But yeah, I think I could win.
If there's one thing catapults are known for, it's their accuracy.
Yes, because that's why what they shoot is so large, because it's accurate. You think you could kick each other's asses?
Oh yeah,
like, I think as brothers, you guys have gotten in tussles before, but like, this was when there was a clear like growth differential between you two. But like, now, as you both are full grown adults,
yeah,
because
well, I'm full grown. Zach's still growing.
You're growing, boy. I'm just saying. Jake, you smoke a fair bit of weed.
Yeah, almost every day. But my
so I don't know if you're making 12 rounds either, so I'm just curious, like, how does this go?
I would quit after one round and say, this is dumb.
I feel like what would happen is, like, in the beginning, Zach would be like, all right, let's fucking do this. And you would be like, and you would sit there and be like, I don't want to fight you. Like, this is stupid. And then Zach punches you in the face. Blind rage just, like, instantaneously washes over you. And you go to town until Zach punches you in the face, gets a bloody nose. You get out of it, and you're like, I don't want to fucking do this anymore. I said this was stupid from the start. But then he punches you again, back into a blind rage, and you're just going toe-to-toe, gut, 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 gut. That's how I see that going.
Let's put it this way, Chris.
It's a fair reenactment.
I'm Ivan Drago. He's Apollo Creed.
Okay. I got to ask Mike about this.
Chris, let's put it this way. I'm Ronda Rousey, and Zach is, well, Zach. He's done. He's toast.
Zach is himself.
Well, I could take the punch. Perfect.
He's toast.
Fucking crazy.
I'm Francis Ngannou, and he is Jacob. I come from the salt mines of Cameroon. You think you could stop me?
I'm Paul Atreides. I'm from the Spice Planet.
You're a little bitch?
I'm the chosen one. No, I would be terrible in a fight. Mostly because, well, I don't fight a lot, so I'm pretty inexperienced.
You guys ever been in a fight?
One fight.
Really?
When I was in high school.
Who'd you fight?
His name was Zach Campbell. He's probably listening right now. What up? And, yeah.
What happened?
What happened? Yeah. Oh, dude, blood everywhere. So much blood.
Seriously?
Organs and tissues everywhere.
Nice. Nice, dude. Somebody pulled a knife at one point.
Yeah, there's knives and brass knuckles and...
His goons came out from behind snapping in rhythm.
Yeah, it was West Side Story. No, you know, it's just turf wars, basically, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted the West Side, he wanted the East Side. I said no.
Wait, you wanted the West Side, he wanted the East Side, so why couldn't that just end peacefully?
I wanted it all. I wanted it all, so... There's a scruff.
You really want to go toe-to-toe, Zacky boy? Huh? Don't you see this could be dangerous for you, daddy-o?
I think definitely said daddy-o. The daddy-o said a lot during that fight.
Mid fight, like, as you're punching. You sure you don't want to give up? Huh,
Jesse? Daddy-o?
Daddy-o, what you thinking? Gotta get off the deviled lettuce, if you know what I mean.
I can tell right now by that green hoodie that Jake was, he's Grove Street for life.
I was for sure Grove Street.
He's a baller.
He was for sure a baller.
Shot collar, 20-inch rims on the Impala, holla. My big question is... What were you saying?
Oh, I was just going to say, when was the last time you played San Andreas?
Long-ass time. Last time I played it was when Zach had his PS2.
About a week ago.
Serious?
Are
they remastering that, aren't they?
It's been slightly enhanced so that you can play it on next-gen consoles, but it hasn't been like fully remastered.
I want them to remaster it. That's going to be amazing when they do.
Well, I really enjoy like Carl's fists that look like the punching hands from SpongeBob.
Oh, yeah. I love everything about that game. No other games really embrace crack like San Andreas did.
Scarface. It's literally your job to sell cocaine.
That was cocaine. Not crack, Zach. Come on.
They don't embrace crack. They're a bunch of babies. They're trying to get rid of it.
Dude, the Scarface game was dope, too.
That's a great way of looking at it. Drug dealers are pussies, dude. They're just trying to get rid of their crack.
Well, like, they're trying to drive out drug dealers. I'm saying just let them have it.
That's why I smoke crack. I'm trying to get it off the face of the earth.
Trying to make sure nobody can smoke crack again. I'm being a martyr by smoking it dangerous, all.
And I'm going to get rid of it one rock at a time.
I was on the phone with my mom earlier this week, and I was talking to her, and I was like, Mom, I think I want to start doing drugs. And she was just like, okay, what drugs are you thinking? And I was like, well, first things first, I realize that you're not going to take kind of this, but I want to do cocaine, like, really bad. And she was like, okay, first off, family history is not in your favor on that. You should not do cocaine. It's not good for you. I was like, all right, fine.
Why is that what your cocaine. Cultish is that what your cultish family serves on their farm, you one percenter?
I don't understand where this is coming from. I want to do ecstasy, Mom. And she was just like, oh, ecstasy. Interesting. And I was just like, Mom, you ever done ecstasy? She was like, I don't need to tell you that. I'm like, so that's a yes, but like, I'd like your confirmation. Have you done ecstasy? She's like, I'm not telling you because I don't want you to go off and tell people. And I'm like, who do you think I'm going to tell?
And the she podcast? Was
like, I don't know, the people. Whole world. Well, I was just like, I'm probably going to tell Zach and Jake. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking to you guys right now. Wink, wink. But she'd never confirmed or denied if she'd done ecstasy, but I think it's safe to assume she did.
I think Chris on ecstasy would be like the guy in Silence of the Lambs when he's in the mirror. Would you fuck me? I'd fuck me.
Tuck my nuts between my legs and just kind of like, goodbye, horses.
You keep women in a pit in your basement.
Yeah, that's the guy. That's the guy you're talking about.
Who's he keeping in a pit?
Women.
I think he's keeping. I think he's keeping you, Zach, in his pit.
It puts the lotion on his skin or it gets the hose again.
Shut that dog up.
It watches Ready Player One again or it gets the hose.
What a shit movie.
I once asked a kid how many women he kept locked in his basement, and his answer was probably the worst answer that you could give, because he said, "I don't have access to the basement." I was like,
what? So that's not denying that you have them somewhere else.
That's a weird answer.
It's like, in my apartment, I can't even get into the basement. And I was like, that's not the answer that I was looking for.
Can you get into the attic?
You just keep them strewn around in the living room?
Fucking gosh, creepy ass dude.
Is this the same guy who listens to television in his back pocket?
Yes.
Is this the same guy that gets buzzed and reads books?
Yes.
This guy's an interesting dude.
When I trained him to close the deli, I did not see a shred of it, but I heard the entirety of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
He was watching it on his phone. Listening to it?
On his phone.
An audiobook I can understand. But a fucking movie? Like, how can you just listen to that?
Puts me asleep, man. Really loves me.
I mean, like, there are some movies I can't imagine just listening to. Like, imagine just listening to, like, Expendables or Transformers. So all you hear is...
Every like, just the action movies. But if you just knew it, he'd be like... Oh yeah, Optimus Prime just took down Megatron right there.
I don't know if you heard that little crack, but like
Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh no, like conversation movies, like ones like the Before trilogy, I kinda get because that's basically a lot of what the movie is.
You would just like, listen to that in your back pocket?
I fucking would. Are you kidding me? Like sure.
A psycho.
I would. That doesn't mean I would listen to it with the same with that. Like, I would listen to it with that being the idea of what I'm trying to do. So, like, in my mind, I know I'm listening to that.
What a weird choice. The Before trilogy. What a weird choice.
If we could listen to Nailin Palin, he didn't want to.
No.
He didn't want to? Bummer.
He said, that sounds like porn, and I said, it is. And he didn't want to listen to it.
We all know what this guy looked up when he went home.
I'm curious what Zach was talking about.
What's Nailin Palin?
What's this guy's name, Billy?
No.
This guy sounds like a Billy.
Chris, you've seen like the Lemon Stealing Whores video, haven't you?
Yes, you've made me watch the Lemon Stealing Whores video.
That's hilarious.
It's a good one.
That's how I'm going to phrase that sentence. Yes, you've made me watch it before.
One of the most bizarre porn dialogues I've heard is this girl's in the kitchen. And she's like making like a salad for dinner. And these two guys just start fucking in the kitchen. And she turns around and sees him. She's like, are you guys seriously fucking in front of my salad?
This guy showed me this other one. And it's like this girl is like leading this guy. And she's like, we're going to the ocean. And then, like, he opens his eyes, and, like, they're in a bathroom, and he was like, this isn't the ocean, this is a bathtub!
Nailed it.
Oh, my fucking gosh.
He went on to nail it.
Nice. You think these people, like, make a decent penny for writing these dialogues?
I think they make one pretty penny, yes.
Wow. I bet it's ad-lib.
That's true, they're good... Yeah, all porn people have to take improv classes.
They've got a certain section of Twin City dedicated to that, huh? Or the improv in fucking... I don't even know where it is, but the improv has specific classes for porn ad-libs.
That would be in a hilarious sketch comedy about, like, just ad-libbing on a porn set.
Oh my gosh. SNL, get on it.
Well, speaking of porn, we got five beautiful movies to talk about here, Chris. You ready? Are you ready for that? This is your favorite time of year.
I'm just glad we're not ranking movies this year.
This is your favorite time of year, Chris. All these horror movies.
No horror movies.
We have to rank movies besides our top 10 lists.
We have to do, well, the first time we did a Halloween thing, we had to do like a top 10 Halloween movies or horror movies all time.
Chris, if you think I'm not going to ask you to rank these five movies, you're nuts.
I've already started an official Universal Monsters ranking list.
How many are there?
There's a lot. I did not think there was that many, but then I Googled it, and I found a complete list on movie.com, and there's like over, well, let me get you an exact number. There is 75 quote-unquote Universal Monster movies.
Seriously?
I never would have guessed that.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. What I do will say is that I want to, after we talk about these movies, discuss who would win in a fight based off of what we've seen in these movies.
Me or the Wolfman? Probably me.
You think so? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it seems pretty obvious the Invisible Man would win because he's invisible.
Yeah, I don't think so, though. I've thought about this. This was a big question I was asking myself.
Oh, you thought about it. Yes, okay, well, we'll get to this.
This is probably all I was thinking about while watching the movies was like,
who would win in the fight?
That Dracula, you know, I don't think you could beat the Wolfman. I really don't.
Which Universal monster do you think you guys are? Of the ones that we watched?
I'm definitely not the Invisible Man or the Mummy or Dracula. I want to say I'm the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Actually, if I'm being honest with myself, I probably am as maniacal as the Invisible Man. So.
Yeah, Zach's definitely the Invisible Man.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
I like how she was just like, you could get back to normal. And he was just like, why would I want to get back to normal when I can topple the world's elite? Yeah.
I have definitely said those exact words before.
Sure.
I could see Creature from the Black Lagoon stalking women from the weeds, for sure.
That's not what I'm doing. I just meant, whatever. I just can't really see myself being Dracula, the Invisible Man, or the Mummy, which are the only three that have, like, you know, they are making conscious choices.
I think you are the Wolfman, Chris.
I'll also, take that. Yes. Looking into women's windows and trying to hit on them with pickup lines, like.
See, the thing is that you can say this creepy shit about any of these movies.
But more so in the Wolfman.
Well, yeah, but like.
More so in the Wolfman than any of them.
Yeah, he was pulling some, you know. Let's just say if it was made today, the Me Too movement would have a field day with that movie.
Well, it is being made today.
I'm sure not the same way, though.
Yeah, didn't you get my text, Chris? Ryan Gosling starring as the Wolfman.
I saw your text. I'm interested. Derek
Stein, France, direct.
Who?
No.
The director of Blue Valentine?
No, it's the director who did The Invisible Man's doing the Wolfman.
No, he was originally attached to. He's no longer doing it.
Oh, interesting. I can't figure out which Universal monster I would be. Maybe Dracula, because it's socially awkward.
I'm still hoping for...
I'm going to keep the building the way it is.
What did you say, Zach? Sorry.
I said I'm still hoping for a Universal Monster movie reboot with Javier Bardem as Frankenstein.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Gary Busey is Frankenstein. Fucking kidding me?
That would be amazing.
Could they redo just all the Universal monsters and all played by Gary Busey?
The thing is, he would like fit with like almost every single one. Like the
kind of would.
The fucking Invisible Man, where he's just like, I'm gonna go fucking invisible, go about town, and then just fuck over the world's elite. Like that's something you can hear him say.
I had a very hard time watching Creature from the Black Lagoon this time without. Also thinking about old Greg.
Oh, really?
Can you make a version of that movie where whenever he pops out of that thing, he says an old Greg quote, like, you ever drink Baileys from a shoe?
With, like, when they capture him, I just wanted him to, like, look up and be like, what are you doing in my waters?
Oh, my fucking gosh. I'm old Greg. Got a mangina.
Oh, my God, dude. Gary Busey would definitely play a good Frankenstein's monster. This is a Gary Busey quote. If you put that straitjacket on me, I'm going to pull your endocrine system out of your body.
I would love to see him as the Wolfman.
Oh, for sure.
Guillermo del Toro was a good Wolfman.
Fear is the dark room where the devil develops his negatives. Gary Busey quote.
Facts.
Is Gary Busey slowly becoming my idol?
Dude, Gary Busey quote. A good way to lose weight is to put salt on your ass and go to a petting zoo. But stay away from goats because I've seen them fornicate with a mailbox.
What a true American hero.
That makes no sense, but I'm with it. I agree. Put salt on your ass.
Gary Busey quote. 5 parts of my brain contain alien power. Whatever I do or say cannot be denied on the intergalactic highway of existence.
Oh, shit.
This man's a quote machine.
I want to see his quote in, like, one of those, like, pretty little texts that they have with, like, the backgrounds of sunset and it has, like, the calligraphy-like writing.
Yeah, I want that. I want this on my... Like in that live, laugh, love quote. Like in that text. A good way to lose weight is to put salt on your ass. You can go to
but don't let a goat see it because I've seen a goat fuck a mailbox.
Fornicate with a mailbox. I'm getting that on a placard. I don't care.
It's going to be behind your desk one day and then people are going to be like, what the fuck is that? And be like, words I live by every day. That's how I've gotten where I am.
I just want to keep that in my back pocket. Anytime I hear someone just like, I'm just having a really hard time losing weight. Yeah, have you tried putting salt on your ass and going to a petting zoo?
Oh my gosh.
The new Weight Watchers motto.
Gary Busey as the Weight Watchers.
You're just gonna put salt on your asshole and go to the petting zoo.
I just want to know where he was going with that.
I know. I really need to see the full context of that quote.
Oh my fucking gosh! Now that's an alpha, Zach.
Yeah.
That's an alpha male.
So, all right, well, let's start off with Dracula from 1931.
How many of these have either of you seen before?
None.
Only The Creature from the Black Lagoon.
I think I've actually seen The Mummy before. No. No, I haven't. I'm thinking of something else.
So The Mummy was the only one that I hadn't seen.
Yeah, first time watches for all these for me, so that was kind of cool. Except for Creature from Michael Green, as I said. And so let's see. So was Dracula the very first one that they tried, that they did?
Yes.
Okay, so perfect. So this one had starred Bela Lugosi as Dracula and directed by Todd Browning. Yeah, what did you guys think of Dracula from 1931?
So I like Bela Lugosi as Dracula, but I'm not like the biggest fan of this movie.
I'm not the biggest fan of Dracula.
I find this movie, each time I've seen it, I think this is the third time, and I always watch it like hoping that like it'll be better. And there's just something about it that's just so dry. And kind of just like, even for a movie that's 75 minutes, like, it just feels super long.
Because, like, half the movie, like, there's nothing happening besides people, like, walking around very slowly.
Yeah, it is very, very slowly paced. And then once things do start to happen, it happens in a span of, like, I don't know what, 30 minutes? And then it's over? Which, yeah. I don't necessarily want to get into this, like, right off the bat, but I think one of the upsides and one of the hindrances of these movies is how short that they are. And I think, oh no, obviously that was just what do I want to say? Something of the era where you sort of like get in, tell your story real quick. There's no real need for like character development. It's mostly just plot focus. And then, you know, there's a showdown with the monster and there you go. There's your movie. So I feel like some of these things could really benefit from like kind of taking its time and really setting things up.
The one thing that I like about these movies that like some would be somewhat of a criticism today is like the overacting. Like whoever the guy is, hold on, what's his name? The guy that plays Renfield.
Oh yeah, dude, he's nuts.
Dwight Frye. That guy's amazing. Like, he just wants to fucking eat rats and spiders all day.
Yeah, the guy who does Renfield in this is pretty good. Like, he definitely goes over the top, which is great. I think Bela Lugosi does kind of have, like, a good... Like, I think he's sly enough to play Dracula.
It's just, like, and then it's hard for me to critique these things just because they've all been hailed as, like, absolute classics and they're detrimental towards the progression of horror. So it's hard for me to critique them with that not in mind and just as an individual piece.
Well, I mean, it's, I don't know. I think you can be, like, I think you can appreciate kind of what they're doing, but then also being, like, it's not very good.
No, I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just, like, this version of Dracula, I guess the best way to put it is this version of Dracula, like, this is what you get as a costume at the Halloween store. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I see this and I think, wow, they're really on the nose about it. But that's, you know, it's fucking almost 90 years later. You know what I'm saying?
Was that the cat?
No, it's Jake. He's sleeping.
Oh.
I don't know, I think they do a lot without having very much. Like, it's a movie made for less than like $1 million, like, which probably back then was a lot of money. I think the budget's like $500,000. $341,000. But like, they do a lot of like stuff off screen, like with the howling of wolves, and like, I like a lot of that stuff, and I like. It's kind of overused, but I do like the Bela Lugosi stare, and like that's kind of like,
oh, yeah,
the big terrifying thing is the movie is just this like stare when he's like looking at someone.
Not only that, but they're like reflecting like a light or something, so that's like illuminating his eyes.
I do think the close-up of Karloff in The Mummy is better than the ones in Dracula, but...
Well, they do the one in Dracula like four or five different times, right?
They're really going back to the well on that, yeah.
For sure. I do like some, like, I did think, like, right from the opening, though, like, I did like some of the carriage riding stuff, and you could see, like, the map paintings behind them of the mountain of the castle. Like, I thought all that stuff was really good. I think it was really impressed. I like some of the stuff in the castle. Like, it's just, like, this huge... like pretty obvious set, but I like just how extravagant it is, and like these insanely big staircases, and I think that's like pretty cool.
When he's in the carriage and he's going out to like tell the driver to slow down because it's a bumpy ride, and there's just a bat.
It's going to be a bumpy ride.
And then, like, Bela Lugosi is there to pick him up in the carriage, and he, like, doesn't say anything to him. He just stares at him, and the guy's like,
I know.
I should definitely do this. Yeah.
I think my favorite part is when Bela Lugosi's walking down the street, and he just grabs that random woman, bites her neck, just drops her on the ground, walks away.
And how talk this about guy
not giving a fuck.
Just how he manages to escape anybody is beyond me, because he walks at like a pace of like 0.001 miles per hour.
Yeah, but he turns into a bat and flies away.
Yeah, but like, do you see the transition of him turning into a bat?
Well, it would have been pretty difficult to pull off.
Maybe for like the amateurs.
I think what's crazy about all these movies is like you can really see the difference between like filmmaking today, but it's like sort of how anticlimactic the showdown with the monster at the end is.
Well, not even that. I mean, this is true for basically every movie we watch, except for maybe Creature from the Black Lagoon, even though that's kind of unfair because that's almost 20 years later.
Right. So,
like, things have developed a lot. But mostly, most of these movies are just people sitting in rooms talking.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm fine with. Like, and the thing is that a lot of this is about figuring out what's going on. And I'm cool with that, you know, because a lot of them, that's what was required, because a lot of it was the mystery of it all. That's what made them scary. But I feel like with this one, beyond just like you seeing exactly what's happening, I feel as if like the people who were involved in the situation are so far separated from Dracula and his world that it just doesn't make it interesting to see them try and figure it out. Like, at least in The Mummy, they're archaeologists, so they have some sort of basis of what they're trying to look for. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you have Van Helsing.
Yeah, but I don't know. I guess.
I like that Twilight sort of took the paper cut, the finger, paper cut on the finger thing. Where he cuts his finger on the paper and he's kind of like, oh, paper cut.
I did like the scene where, like, Bela Lugosi's not being reflected in the mirror and, like, Van Helsing figuring that out.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I do think this is kind of, like, starts an interesting thing that we kind of see, like, in at least two other of these movies, which is, like, the woman that is attracted to this monster, even though she has this other suitor who's like begging for her attention, and she kind of ignores them because she's drawn to this monster.
Uh-huh.
Like, it happens in The Wolfman and arguably The Mummy as well.
Even in The Invisible.
She's kind of like under a spell in The Mummy, but
arguably in The Invisible Man, though not quite to the same degree. Because I think she's already with the monster, quote-unquote monster.
Was she not, like, being some kind of, like, hypnotized in this movie? In Dracula?
Kind of. I mean, he made her drink his blood to turn her into a vampire.
Yeah, but, like, the seductive, like, isn't that kind of, like, one of Dracula's things? Is that he has, like, seductive powers beyond that of the average man.
He's so hot right now.
He's got less than his eyes.
You couldn't tell by his stare? My gosh, dude just looks like pure fuck.
You can really tell by those close-ups of his eyes that he fucks.
Hard. But then sensual. And then finishes hard. No, I think there's a lot to be admired about these movies when you sort of, you know, just put the age aside, put the acting aside. Because I think it's very easy to, like, jump at the acting, but it's honestly, like, very much of its time. Very much of its time. But I wish I could go back. I would like to go back to, like, the 30s, though. I think it'd be interesting to, like, see this with other people and, like, see, like, what was scary about it to them.
I think one thing that, like, really hurts the movie is no score.
Yeah.
Like, the scenes of him just walking slowly, like, they could work if they were put to music, but since there's no music, it's just kind of like you're kind of just awkwardly watching this man move very slowly across the room.
And I don't know if that was...
Go ahead.
With like a little bit of music, like you could really play the tension that's there.
I was just going to say, I'm curious if that was artistic choice or if it was just because, like, it was a much more of a production to get a score back then. It wasn't something that, like, one guy could throw together on a laptop. It was like you needed a whole orchestra to get it done, and it probably cost a lot of money. And this was the first Universal Monster movie that they made, right?
Yeah, it was too expensive for them to have one.
Yeah, it might just have been out of the budget, but I was just kind of... I wonder if that was actually the case.
Although, there has been a score made since. Philip Glass made a score for the movie. You can, if you get, like, the legacy collections of all of these, which is what I have, there's a version on there where you can watch it with, like, the optional, like, score that they composed in, like, the early 2000s or something.
Mm-hmm. Is it good?
That version's better, but...
Yeah, because there is, like, I remember one in particular that kind of takes up a good amount of time is, like, when Bela Lugosi is slowly walking down the stairwell to meet Renfield.
Yeah.
And, like, Renfield's just, like, looking at the castle, and it's just, like, probably, like, a minute at least, just him walking down the stairs in silence.
Come on, bud, like, speed it up.
Dude, that .001 walking speed is working against him.
And, like, one of the opening scenes, too, like, it's probably, like, my favorite scene in the movie of him and his wives, like, coming out of their coffins.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that scene's really good, but it would be even better with some kind of music there.
It's interesting to see the development of Dracula, because he seems like, especially compared to, like, Bram Stoker's Dracula by Francis Ford Coppola, like, he seems like he's, like, very smooth-talking and very, like, charming. And this one, he seems like, a socially awkward... a socially awkward person. The way he just sort of like awkwardly like lingers and like looks at you.
He's just like the outcast. Like he has to stand out for being weird.
Yeah.
But he's being weird.
He's a monster.
I can't get over that thing where they were just like, you have a real bit of a fixer-upper at that property over there. He's like, I'm going to leave it as it is. Because it reminds me of my castle from home.
I mean, it's not as good as Nosferatu, but it's pretty good.
See, I still have yet to see Nosferatu, and I'd like to.
Nosferatu.
The best Nosferatu is right out of SpongeBob, right, Chris?
Exactly. That's the only reason I know what Nosferatu is.
I'm trying to think. What else here? What else? I actually don't really have a lot. These are nice short, sweet movies.
I think it's somewhat interesting that, like, Bela Lugosi, like, has this infamous sort of person that's like, he's Dracula. Like, he's very well known for being Dracula. But he only played Dracula, I think, twice.
How many movies was Bela Lugosi in for these Universal Monster movies?
He's in Dracula. He's in...
I think he's in The Wolfman as somebody.
He is. He's in The Black Cat. He's in Son of Frankenstein.
See, I wish we would have watched Frankenstein. I would have loved to have watched that one.
I'm glad we watched The Mummy, though, because let's just say this had a lot to live up to.
Yeah, let's just say it's no Steven Sommers action thriller.
Yeah, I mean, he only plays Dracula like twice, and he's like so well known for that role.
Yeah, I think I like the wives. So I don't think they ever say anything, do they? Do they even have a line of dialogue?
I don't even know quite literally what their purpose is. Like,
other than it's just in the story.
I also don't even know, like, why he wants Mina. Like, is it just to have another wife just for the fuck of it? Like,
no, I thought it was something. I thought it was. I thought Mina was a former lover of his, reincarnated. I think I remember that. Maybe I remember that from the book. Maybe I'm making that up. I don't remember.
Well, it's
I definitely don't think it's in this.
In Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula, that's the reason for wanting her.
Right, but I thought that was from the book. But maybe I'm making that up.
So he meets at like the theater. He meets Mina and he meets Lucy.
Yeah.
He kills Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's no like real reason as to why he wants Mina.
I don't think it's explained that much. There's definitely a weird like time cut thing where they're in the house and, you know, Van Helsing's talking to Dracula, but then there's like a weird cut where they now see Renfield like running down this hill and they go chase after him, and then now all of a sudden they're in the castle getting Dracula. See, that's the shit where, like, so being so plot focused, like, you miss sort of these in between stuff.
I do like the call of the wolf making Renfield do things.
Mm-hmm.
The howl, the commands and the howls.
You, which is weird because the vampire is the werewolf's natural enemy.
So they say in Underworld.
And Twilight. I'm just saying, why would I trust Dracula when I can trust Edward and Bella?
True. Well, let's see. What are you guys going to give Dracula then?
It's a 3.5.
It's a 2.5.
Oof, harsh. I'll go 3.5 with Zach on this one.
2.5. Okay, I guess now I'm interested. Did you like any of these movies?
Yeah, I did. This was my least favorite of the five.
Okay.
Interesting. Well, we'll get to my least favorite of the five. Spoilers. The Mummy from 1932, starring Boris Karloff, directed by Karl Freund. And let's see, what did you guys think of The Mummy?
That transition from the beginning to what comes after was just very interesting. Cutting immediately to like 10 years in the future.
Then you kind of have to piece together that we're 10 years in the future.
Yeah. I thought I was misreading it. Like when, cause it says like the British Museum, like 1921, but then it's like jumps to like 1930 something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, whoa, what's going on here?
I will say I don't – this is my least favorite one as well, but I don't dislike it. There's quite a bit of things that I do like. I just – it's a lot of the similar complaints as Dracula. We're like, there's a lot of shit in here that's just not explained. Mm-hmm. And that I would like to know about, like, the fucking – the mummy pool that he can just kind of, like – make people do whatever he wants. Like,
yeah.
Fucking squeeze their heart and shit.
Like, I would also like to know, like, how he gets unwrapped as a mummy and then just looks like a normal man.
Well, that was the weirdest thing. It's like, so this guy's been buried for centuries. Then he just wakes up and he just slips himself into society. He's now just a socialite. Like, what the fuck? How did this happen?
He still looks dead.
Are there preservation tactics really that good that he just looks like a normal man again?
He's got a ridiculous name, too, that he goes by.
Yeah, it's...
What is it here?
He goes by Ardeth Bay.
Yeah, Ardeth Bay.
Better than Paul.
It is better than Paul. I'll give you that.
It's better than fucking Paul.
But I did like some of the effects or some of the makeup work of him as the mummy. The way that he's got all those like lines on his face. I did like that.
And the transition from him at the very end going from person, quote unquote person, back into mummy was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was like gross, and I thought it was cool.
But what I did like about this one is sort of, I do like how it sort of just right opens right immediately with the discovery of these things and them opening it up and like the mummy coming to life. Though it's kind of ridiculous that that guy, like, he sees the mummy and then he just laughs maniacally.
Like, yeah, that's
his reaction.
Well, he breaks his mind.
I don't even know what that means.
There's in these movies, there's definitely a lot of people that just go crazy for the sake of going crazy.
Oh, for sure. Like, yeah, that seems like gotta be the time for. Oh, how do you describe someone going crazy? You just laugh a lot, I guess.
You're a loony.
Crazy.
You're acting like you're having a good time. You're nuts.
So the number one thing in this movie that makes literally no sense to me is, so this woman that he sees at the party is supposedly like a Nox and a Moon, like reincarnated.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes her to the mummy pool and he says, I'm going to show you all these things and then you're not going to remember them. Why? Why show them then?
Just for funsies, you know?
What is the point of showing her any of this if she's not going to remember?
Do you think it's to, like, put a somewhat spell on her?
No, it's so that he can show... It's so that you can see... It's literally there so that you can explain his backstory to the audience. So that you can see it. But I don't understand what purpose there is in making her forget it.
Sometimes people just need to express things, Zach. You know, he's a person too.
No, he's actually dead.
Yeah, that doesn't mean he's not a person.
This also just falls into like the long line of movies that are like, here's all of these ancient texts that I probably shouldn't read, but let's do it anyways.
There's a curse on this box. All right, let's open it, dude. Like, what the fuck? Might as well. At least they show like the skepticism.
That is cursed.
Was not a single mummy made out of sand in this movie?
Nope. There was no faces in the water chasing after a bloom. I gotta say, it's no secret on this podcast. I'm a big fan of 1999 Stephen Sommers' Mummy. It's on my top 100 for crying out loud, Chris. Let's get real. And I mean, it is kind of interesting to go back and sort of see where that all come from. Like, I guess I didn't really quite realize that the mummy's stale name is Imhotep. There's still a Nox and a Moon, a Book of the Dead that does things. Like, it is kind of interesting to see all those story beats.
It's a completely different story, though. Well, not completely different, but like it's
the shell.
Make
it
right, and sense. Then right, and then they sort of turned it into an action thriller.
There was no Jonathan. There was no O'Connell. Rachel Weisz wasn't in this movie.
There's no Scorpion King.
There's no fucking Scorpion King. Give us the goods we want.
I like that this movie takes place in Egypt, but like, there's literally nothing that shows you that it takes place in Egypt.
I know. Except for what?
Like, you
except
could,
for the pier.
You could shoot scenes outside. They're like, hey, look, we're in Egypt. But nope. All just really big rooms and people sitting down talking.
That's true. I guess there's not really a lot of scenes that take place outside in any of these movies. The Wolfman might be the one that sort of does that the most.
We're archaeologists, but like most of our time is going to be spent in socialite atmospheres trying to talk to each other about this museum.
Yeah, I don't have
it. His big mummy pool, so that nobody finds it.
Where is it?
You really have a hard time with this mummy pool, don't you?
I just don't get it.
Yeah, that was interesting of him, like, watching the guy from the mummy pool that make that, okay, so that's interesting about these movies, how the cause of death of everybody is, like, choking.
I thought he was squeezing their heart.
Oh, was he? I thought he was, like, suffocating
them. Well, I saw him do this, and then, like, that guy kind of, like, went to his chest, so I just kind of assumed he was squeezing his heart, but he could have been choking him.
But also, like, where did the mummy pool come from? Did he create the mummy pool?
Yeah, he could have, dude. He's supernatural. He's a mummy that came back to life.
It's just like, it's the most interesting thing about the movie, but also the most problematic.
He's established as being a magical entity. Or like a, I don't say magical, like he's established at having powers. Even before he comes back from the dead.
Well, does he have powers, or does his special pool have powers?
He does, because you see...
Combination?
I will admit, the first time you see the pool, you don't really know much about what's going on. But, like, in the second when you see his flashback...
Even the last time you see the pool, you don't really know what's going on.
Well, when you see the flashback, they establish that he's trying to bring her back from the dead.
Facts, yeah.
So, it's established that he has some sort of, like... You know, he's got something going on that makes it so he's capable of doing, like, amazing things. So I didn't find the last time the magic pool to be too far-fetched, given that information.
I don't know. It makes it a lot less interesting, I think. Like, that he's just sitting at this pool and causing people to die, rather than, like, having to be in the same room with them and causing them to die.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, like, every one of these, like, universal monsters has their thing, you know? Like, physical strength, they can slash people to death, they can, I don't fucking know, suck their blood.
This guy just has a body of water.
This guy's just got a magic fucking pool, and for some reason can just, like, I don't know, superimpose skin onto his body. Like, he's got, like, Neutrogena or some shit.
What was the reason for killing that guy again?
Okay, which one?
The one that he chokes out or has a heart attack at the pool?
I think it was because that was Anaxonamoon's fiance.
Oh, is that who he was?
Yeah, I think so. Like, there was the woman that the mummy was after was the current day version of Anaxonamoon, and I think she was engaged to him.
So, like, but why doesn't he just kill everyone? Like, he has this special pool. Like, why not just kill everyone, and then the girl is the only one left, and there's no one that can stop his plan? Or his plan is literally to kill her anyways. Why even waste time killing these other people and just kill her?
Well, because if he kills her and it knocks on him, well, they went over that. Like, if he brings back the body, Anaxonamoon's soul won't be inside the body. Like, he can't bring back her past body, because then it'll just be like a meat puppet that he can have do whatever he wants. But he can't kill the current body because Anaxonamoon's already in there.
Well, right. His plan is to kill her, mummify her, and then resurrect her.
Yes.
So this is a plan that seems like it's going to take some time. Why not just get right to it? Like, just kill her, take the body, and be on your way.
Maybe you should give the mummy a call and ask why he didn't do that.
I'm going to call Boris Karloff. I'm going to say, your movie sucks.
All in all, I didn't think it was that bad. I liked the makeup. This one had the most interesting music of them all.
Tchaikovsky?
They tried, in this one, they used the same intro music that they used during Dracula. And didn't they abandon it after that? Because I didn't hear it in the other three.
They might have, but I don't remember.
I really love the close-ups of Boris Karloff, like after he uses, after he takes an old dip in the mummy pool.
Mm-hmm.
But most of this movie just was not working for me.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I definitely kind of found it to be a bit dull of all the ones that we watched. Right up there with Dracula, too.
Especially when we already have a superb remake. It made me just want to watch that.
Trust me, dude.
I definitely could have watched The Mummy for sure. 1999 version.
Should have included that one when we... The Universal Mummy when we did the... Mummy Returns and Scorpion King.
It's Universal Monsters, but just their remakes.
Remakes.
Watch like The Mummy starring Tom Cruise, Benicio del Toro's Wolfman. You got to watch I, Frankenstein.
Fuck, that means we're going to have to watch the fucking Dracula, the Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula.
Francis Ford, or we could watch Dracula Untold.
I'm cool with that.
Oh god, that one's awful. Yeah, I have the least to say about The Mummy. Glad I got to finally check it out, but...
What else would there be? Oh, we have to rewatch The Invisible Man. Do we, though?
No, we just watch The Invisible Man.
No, we just watch Hollow... No, we watch Hollow Man instead, with Kevin Bacon.
Even better.
These are all great choices.
This one's a 2 for me.
I'm going to still go 2.5.
I'm going 2.5 as well.
That's like a solid 2.5, you know?
This is a light 2.5.
So then let's see. Then we've got, moving on from 1933, we've got The Invisible Man, directed by James Whale. And I gotta say, this one might be one of my favorites that we watched.
This one was my favorite.
And mostly because I was completely blown away by the special effects of The Invisible Man.
That was pretty good.
I still can't figure out how they did some of the invisible stuff. I've got a guess at the footprints in the snow. I got a guess at the footprints in the snow.
He went invisible.
That's true. It's all about what's that drug that he has?
Hydroxychloroquine.
I don't think it's that.
Fucking chemtrails, dude.
Invisible man takes ivermectin.
See, this is the thing about about this one too is again immediately. Getting right in on the action, and I don't really think this one ever slows up, which I also really enjoyed.
I love that opening scene, in the motel or whatever with that older lady. And he's like, I told you I don't want to be disturbed, and throws her down the stairs.
I had two thoughts at that intro scene. First things first, I thought I was watching the second one because I wasn't expecting it to immediately start off with him being invisible. So I had to stop, pause the movie, and figure out what was going on because I legitimately thought I was watching a sequel. And the second thing I have to say is if I had to listen to that lady scream one more time,
oh my god,
my fist was going through the fucking TV.
He sounds like that girl, the older woman in Harry Potter when they're on the train and it's just anything from the trolley.
I just brought him his meal and you forgot to give me the mustard. What's wrong with you? Brings it up. Oh, I forgot the mustard. It's funny.
I think she's great. I also like that his hair is a wig.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I love the costume of the Invisible Man, that wrap that he's got around his face with those glasses. His wig.
There's a lot of cool stuff, like the chair rocking, even though there's no one sitting in it. That stuff is cool. Like the hay, like at the end when he's sleeping, like the hay like rising up and down.
Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff, like even like the impression in the seat when he sits down, when he's talking to that guy. He's like, oh, there's a lot of stuff, guys. I can't figure out how they did it. I don't know how they did it.
There's cool stuff like that they do practically. There's also a lot of stuff that's just like, this is just absurd. Like he goes from being like invisible. For whatever reason, he's obsessed with becoming invisible. And then like his immediate thought is just world domination.
I mean, it seems like the logical next step.
I hear what I would say, because I feel like there's not a progression of what he thinks he's capable of. He immediately goes to, I'm going to commit murder, rob banks, and topple the world elites.
Yeah. Yeah.
So step one of his plan is, let's just start murdering people.
I feel like you need to like go through the natural steps. Like, oh shit, I'm invisible. What can I do? I'm going to trip people on the street and just like normal, I'm invisible shit.
But not only that, but he has a great line where he's like, we're going to kill elites, but then we'll also kill the everyday man to show that we're not biased.
How generous of him.
My gosh, like,
what a good person.
Somewhat towards the opening where like all of his invisible tricks are just kind of like full of jest, and he like throws the old man's hat into the river, like takes the kid, like takes the person's bicycle and just like throws it at them. All in good jest.
But I think like some of my favorite stuff in this movie is really the second half of the movie and them planning on how they're going to catch the invisible man. Like just guys randomly walking, just guys just walking across room with the nets to practice, and like surrounding the house and locking. I love the idea of like them like locking arms, sort of denying the fact that he could just slip under their arms, just crawl under if they wanted to, but
he could have gone between their legs.
Like, yeah, go between their legs.
Lining the top of the wall with like dirt so that like they'll know if he's trying to climb over it.
Dude, when they sprayed that cat, I was just like, aw, come on, dude.
Aw, good soup.
Oh, shit. He also, like, derails a train just for fun.
Does he, what part, when's that?
You missed when he derails the train?
I mean, I watched the whole movie. When's he derail the train?
It's pulls like, the lever and you see the track shift and then it goes over the side of the cliff.
The train just like goes over the side of the cliff.
Oh, yes.
And then he like kills his partner by putting him like in the car and just letting it roll off a cliff.
Yeah, that was great. I did like that.
A lot of cliffs where this guy lives.
Yeah, a lot of cliffs, a lot of things going over cliffs. Yeah, that's pretty good. I still love the catch, like trying to catch him though. All the things they do to try to catch him.
I will say I don't like I don't like how they have this immediate turn of character. Like at the end, where, like he knows he's gonna die, so he's just like, "Oh, I was wrong.
I fucked up."
You know what, Chief? I should not have derailed that train. That was wrong of me. I'm sorry.
Definitely shouldn't have killed my partner.
Shouldn't have robbed that bank and thrown it to everybody in the streets. I like how he was just like trying to gain public favor after like committing murder a couple times, and he's just like, here's money at the courtesy of the invisible man. Everybody enjoyed this money. As if like the 12 people that collected were like, you know, he's really not that bad of a guy.
One of my low-key favorites was the police officer in the beginning. In the very, very beginning when he's just like, he has low affect. When they get the police officer in the street, he's just like, okay.
I love when they're like, he throws the woman down the stairs. He like attacks the owner of this inn. And then they call the police and it's like, how much have you had to drink today? It's a little early, don't you think?
Only a couple, sir, I swear.
I definitely like when they go to the tavern to, and the sheriff hears everybody's stories And, like, there's no real reason why anybody should be lying. But then he's all just like, you're all a conspiracy. You're all making it up. Yeah, but really, this one for me really just comes down to the effects. Like, I don't know. It really blew my mind. I was really digging it. I was really in awe the whole movie.
This is also the first one that we watched where, like, the quote-unquote, like, monster is allowed to do monsterish things. Like, sure, like, Dracula and the Mummy, like, they kill people, sure. But, like, it's all, like, kind of, like, sad and brooding and, like, they're on, like, the hunt for love. Like, Dracula and the Mummy are basically, like, the same movie.
Mm-hmm.
This is one where, like, this guy is just acting like an asshole for the sake of acting like an asshole.
Yep.
I think it's, just, like, the most fun out of the movies that we watch, except for maybe Black
Lagoon. Like, the thing is that it doesn't start off that way. At the very beginning, he's very intent on not being the Invisible Man and finding a cure. And then one lady won't leave him alone, and all of a sudden, fuck, gotta murder people now.
That's true. He does kind of, like, shift his goal very quickly.
I get the kind of... I like how the curing invisible made him into an ass, though.
It's not him, it's the chemicals.
Right. Like, I do like that. Like, I agree with you, Zach. Like, the first time, like, they really just let the monster be a monster and be an ass. Now, were there special, quote-unquote, special effects in these times? Like, do you think that's how they did things like the pajamas walking type of thing?
I'm sure it's a lot of string work.
You think so? Because I noticed there were some... It's kind of hard to describe unless I was, like, watching it and pointing it out, but it does seem like there's, like, a weird sort of thing that happens in the camera when it's, like, focusing on... like, the quote-unquote invisible stuff. Like, for example, like, the pajamas, like, walking and getting into bed. And
Is it in this one where you see, like, food, like, in the middle of his chest?
No.
There is one of the sequels where, like, because he always mentions that, like, he has to be left alone to eat because you can, like, literally see the food, like, digest. And it's, like, there's literally, like, food, like, frozen in the middle, like, of his chest.
See, that would be cool to see. I'd love to see that.
I don't remember which one it's in.
No, but it wasn't this one. But he does tell his partner that he needs to be left alone after eating because of that reason.
Do you know how they made him invisible?
What do you mean?
Like how? Like what caused him to, like? Because it's clearly, it looks very clear that, like, he's taking off his bandages and then he's invisible instead of it just being like some way of finagling like somebody to take bandages off of like a mannequin head. You know what I mean?
How do they film the invisible stuff?
Yeah, like how did they make him
invisible? That's what I'm saying. I don't know what they did.
I don't even get how they did the shoes unless it was like a wire thing.
Well, I think that is like, I think what you would do is like you'd film like pressing a boot into the snow right to leave the imprint, so then you get like the shot of the imprint, but I think you would just cut away everything else and then you'd edit it together so it just looks like you just left with the footprints.
It just looks so fluid, and like there was snow falling as he was stepping too, right? Or no there wasn't at that point.
Well, I know like there's the scene where he, like, unwraps his bandages, like, in front of people and in front of the mirror. And, like, in those scenes, his head is below the collar and he's just unwrapping it.
Oh, so they had something sort of holding that shape so that when he unwrapped it, it looked like he's it was... unwrapping it. Oh, that's cool.
And then in, like, other scenes, let's see, it's kind of like they basically, like, double... They filmed over things, so they would do things on, like, completely, like, dark sets, or they would have, like, matte paintings in the background that's supposed to be the background, and they would film that, and then they would film all the invisible stuff, and they would just put them together. They would shoot over it with the invisible stuff.
How would you do that with film? Like, how do you put one set of film over a different set of film?
So you would shoot it, make the negative, and then use that negative to shoot again.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, I feel like there's got to be some like really cool special features on this one or something.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. I would imagine that this was a fucking nightmare to make.
Oh yeah, here we go. Where Reigns is unwrapping the Reigns' own head is hidden below his collar, and the bandages are being taken off a thin wire frame. And I figured things moving by themselves would be done by wire pulls or something. That made sense.
I gotta say though,
the 4K of this.
Say that again.
Did you get the 4K set with this?
No, I didn't.
I have to imagine that like this would be the downside of watching something in 4K, because I've seen things where like there's like Reddit subthreads where they 4K release these movies that are older and like they rely on a certain amount of graininess in the footage to hide things, mm-hmm. and then someone comes to you and they do a 4K restoration and it just ruins it. Like, there are things that you're not meant to see, and then by going in and fixing them up and making them so much cleaner, like, you then get to see them. Huh. For example, in John Carpenter's Halloween, when Michael Myers attacks Dr. Loomis and the nurse in the car, like, and he, like, swings down and breaks the window, he's using, like, there's, like, a wrench tucked into his jacket that he uses to break the window. And apparently, I've seen like pictures of it in the 4K restoration. Like, you can see the wrench, and like, this has to be like one of those things where like, I have it the Blu-ray, and like the Blu-ray looks good. Where like, this is the benefit of watching something like that, like retaining a bit of like the gritty and the grittiness to hide certain things. Like, I'd be curious if going in and cleaning it up too much, like you'd be able to see the skin. Like a wireframe that the bandages were on.
Yeah, it's possible. Have you looked up any stills or anything?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, this is definitely like very clever filmmaking though.
I think in terms of performance by the lead monster, Claude Rains is probably the best of what we watched.
Yeah. Which one? Say it again, sorry.
So in terms of like performance by the monster, like I think Claude Rains is probably the best of the ones we've watched.
Oh yeah, no, he's excellent for sure.
He does a great job. You have to give a lot of credit to the fucking people who are responding to nothing too, because like it's not like in the Invisible Man that came out where they just could throw like a green screen suit on him and then just edit him out of all the filmmaking, but like, these people were responding to literally nothing, which is impressive.
Yeah, there's a lot of like cleverness to it. But you actually have to like, this is like legitimately a problem that you have to work out and like figure out how you're going to do it. Which I think is why, honestly, just from like a filmmaking perspective, this might be one of my favorites, just because, I don't know, I just really admire what they were able to pull off. And I don't really think any of it looks bad either. Like, I think it all looks pretty good.
For almost
100-year-old movie.
It's the most fun out of the ones that we watched.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it doesn't feel like it takes itself very seriously. But there's obviously a lot of fun with the Invisible Man. Now, I'm curious if there was a time period where there was like, every movie sort of had to have an obvious lesson. So I wonder if like that's why at the ending there seems to be this complete coming to the light moment.
Well, that's just movies like pre the 70s where it's like you have to be able to like the main character by the end. And so they have to have some kind of comeuppance that teaches them something.
Mm.
And then that changes kind of with like Easy Rider and Taxi Driver, where you're following these people that just kind of suck, and they suck the entire time.
Yeah, that's a good point. He definitely dies in a anticlimactic way, I suppose you could say.
Just shot through the lungs.
Oh yeah, shot multiple times, dead. Oh, I also like the imagery. I was thinking about it. Well, when he's trying to get to his business partner, So he's like standing in the middle of a police squad. They've got a net wrapped around themselves and they walk him to the police station. I like that. Like that imagery quite a bit.
I like them like driving at night and he just has like a blanket over him because he has to be naked.
Yeah, this one might be one of my favorites. Like, Creature from the Black Lagoon is really, really good, but I've already seen that one. So the one that, like, pleasantly surprised me the most would have to definitely be this one. And I think it's just, like, got some great directing, too, from James Whale.
Total domination.
Like, he was really hot back then.
Sahara now.
Yeah, I'm gonna give the Invisible Man 5 stars, Chris.
I'm gonna go with the same thing. So 5.
It's a 4 for me.
Oof. So let me see. We jump forward in time a little bit to 1941, where we have The Wolfman, directed by George Wagner. And fun fact, written by a guy by the name of Kurt Siedmak, who writes some really good science fiction novels.
Did he write Dune?
No, he did not. He wrote a book called Donovan's Brain, which is really, really good. It's a lot of fun. But anyways, Wolfman. So interesting, Bela Lugosi is in this one. He plays a guy by the name of Bela.
He's the guy that dies almost immediately.
So what do you guys think of The Wolfman?
I liked it.
I like The Wolfman a lot.
I didn't like The Wolfman, but I liked The Wolfman. Like, I liked the movie. I just wish they made The Wolfman a little different. Like, less humanoid, you know?
Oh, I love the look of The Wolfman. And I love... I mean, he's easily, like, the most sympathetic.
Yeah, that's true.
And, because, I mean, he's a monster, but he can't help it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the gypsy woman. She's great.
I think, without a doubt, one of my favorite things about this movie is when they say that the pentagram shows up on the hand of the next victim. And it's like a light that they're beaming down to illuminate on the person's palm.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I do.
I also like that most of the movie is like kind of just a police procedural.
Yeah.
You got to figure out who's killing these people.
Well, this one's kind of fun too, because then you really start to get more like stuff filmed outside.
I love all the fog, like in the swamp areas.
Although, concur.
I will say that Lon Chaney Jr., like, he seems to shake off a bear trap to the leg pretty quickly. I just don't know about that.
He's a fucking champ.
Like, all he's got like a little bit of a limp, but other than that, he's just like, fuck this bear trap.
Bears are pussies, anyways. Who fuck? Who gives a fuck?
I will say that this one. So now this one is interesting to take its time to get set up, where you sort of do sort of get the little bit of a backstory about this guy, a little bit of a setup with the girl before you really get into it. So you're about like halfway through the movie before there's any sort of quote unquote wolf man.
I like when he's at the fair and he's like trying to shoot and there's like a wolf there and he just like can't shoot the wolf.
Freezes, yeah.
Gypsies are cool, dude.
Now, without a doubt, though, this guy is the biggest creeper of any of them.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I'll pick you up at 8 o'clock. No.
Well, not only that, where he's, like, going through the jewelry store, and he's like, I think I would prefer those earrings that are up on your dresser.
I also don't understand what he's doing in the jewelry store because he goes in there asking about earrings and then just settles for a cane. And it's like, what were you even looking for?
Her. He wanted her jewels, if you know what I mean.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
And then he leaves, and the next person he sees is like, hey, what's her name?
What was I gonna say? Oh yeah, so first time the Wolfman attacks, that's a pretty great scene. Where he's like lurking in that graveyard. See, so that's the thing though, he's a Wolfman, but yet he's strangling people. He's like the Grand Strangler.
I will find you, Strangler.
I think I'm like right down the middle on this one. Yeah.
I like everything about the Wolfman. That's when he's not actually the Wolfman. Like him being a human trying to like figure it out and come to terms with it is the most interesting part to me.
So when he first like tries to fight off the Wolfman, it's a dog.
Yes.
And then when he's the Wolfman, he's not a dog.
Right.
Oh, well, how does that work?
You got me, Zach.
See, the guy before was just an animagus, right? Right? And then he became... Guy. Yeah, it's like Remus and Sirius. You got to think about this a little bit.
I know, I like the gypsy woman, like, trying to help him, and I think I like the transformation where, like, it starts at his feet, and it's like you see his regular feet, and then you see his furry feet.
Yeah, I do like the stuff about him being in denial of it, like, despite the fact that he's getting increasingly hairier, being like, oh, shit.
And then his realization that, like, he's a monster, and he needs to leave, and the girl's like, no, that's cool. I'll come. We'll go together.
Yeah, running away. Yeah, this one definitely has a way more slower pace to it than the other ones. It almost feels like, I don't know, there's like a deliberateness to it to like sort of build a little bit more character stuff to sort of write that tragic monster. Because I don't really think you... Because Dracula's always been portrayed as a tragic monster, but I don't really think you get that in Dracula. Well, I don't think you really get that in The Mummy.
That's kind of like the source material. Like in the book, none of this has to do with like Dracula finding a bride. It's all like he's run out of people to kill in Transylvania and he needs a new feeding ground.
Yep.
And so he moves. And in this one, like, there's no, like, inherent tragedy to that. But in this, there's, like, an actual, like, there's the actual element of not being able to control yourself. And then you kill someone. And then having no recollection of having done any of it.
Well, not only that, just also being, like, an innocent bystander when everything happens. It's not like this guy was, like a bad dude to, like, deserve becoming the monster. It's just, like...
Well...
We could say trying to pick up another man's fiance.
And being weird about it.
There's no ring on that finger, fucking play ball, bud.
The thing is that the other guy wasn't even a bad guy. Like, it wasn't a shithead. He was just, you know, working for... He was thinking, fucking employee of this guy. I'm gonna take your wife, and I have your paycheck in my hand. Like, fuck you, dude.
This guy deserved to be the wolf.
We don't know what this guy's like at home. What if he's an abusive man? Drinks too much.
I mean, during the time period, they say the chances are a lot higher.
Wolf, but
it wasn't even like once during the full moon either. It was like every night, right?
I don't remember.
I don't know if they establish how that works.
Yeah, they definitely don't establish when you...
Oh, no, okay. Even a man who is pure in heart and says his prayers by night may become a wolf when the wolfsbane blooms and the autumn moon is bright.
There you go.
So he's impure of heart. That's definitely been established. He's a piece of shit.
Yeah,
he's trying to bang somebody who works for him's wife.
Oh, okay. So apparently there's some weird jumps in time because this is saying, well, so no, what? You get a full moon two nights in a row?
No, you get you get it like once, maybe twice a month.
Well, maybe this is just a month with two full moons, Chris.
It is, yeah.
But they're not back to back.
It just says the night of the next full moon. So yeah, there's some weird time jumping that you don't really. That you don't really quite get. But I do like him like trying to like train him to chain himself down, but then eventually just breaks free and gets out. See, I didn't realize that the silver bullet thing was like actually a part of lore, like goes all the way back to this. So there's no silver bullet though, you just bludgeon him with a silver cane.
By his own dad.
By his own dad with his own cane. Whoa, talk about tragedy.
Mm-hmm. Been there, right, guys? Know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we've all been bludgeoned by our fathers with our own cane. See, that's not even tragic. That's just embarrassing.
Unforgivable.
You gotta kick your dad's ass. If you let him beat you up for years, you're never gonna be the man of the household.
Only a real man beats his dad's ass.
All I'm saying is that your dad beats your ass for years until you're able to beat your dad's ass.
I mean, I will say, I do wish that there was, like, some more stuff of him, like, figuring out, like, trying to figure out how to control it. But the movie is, like, pretty quick to jump to, like, yeah, he won't.
So, other than that, like, I wish there was more time spent with him as a werewolf. Because, like I said, you get about 30 minutes into it. You only got about 30 minutes left.
You want more stuff with him as the werewolf?
Yeah.
Well, you're in luck, bud, because there's 4 sequels to this movie.
How? He's dead.
Well, that doesn't matter.
What about
like they justify the creature from the Black Lagoon, but there's 2 more of those movies.
I don't know how.
What about the how they justify his American accent? Because his American accent, a lot of the times they like most of these movies take place in England, or all of them take place in England.
Well, not Creature from the Black Lagoon.
No, I guess not. But they go to, he's just like, he's speaking with an American accent, but everybody else is speaking with an English accent. And they're like, why is he speaking with an American accent? They're like, oh, he spent 18 years in America.
Yeah, facts. That'll do it.
Fair. The dude's like 30-something years old, and he spent the past 18 years in America. You mean to tell me he's going to have an American accent after that? And not even like a little inkling of an English accent.
No.
Little nugget.
I think this one for sure though suffers the most from the quick story elements and like rushing from plot point to plot point. Because I really think there could be a lot done here with like really playing into the tragic monster and spending like, as you said, Zach, like way more time of him figuring things out, which leaves him like more time to like to stay with his guilt. And, like, to ultimately, like, lead to, like, that tragic climax. Like, you know he just has to die, but then it becomes, like, way more of a tragedy when you have more time to spend with it.
Yeah.
I think that's ultimately, like, kind of why, like, I'm not super high on this one. I think at best I'm, like, a 3.
I'm going to go with a 3.5.
Rough credits.
I think this one's like one of the most praised, though, isn't it?
I'm at a 4.5.
Woof. Woof.
But this one above The Invisible Man?
Oh, yeah.
That's surprising to me.
That is surprising to me.
I just love a good tragedy, you know?
I thought you were a big Invisible Head.
I mean, I like it.
Thought it got your rocks off.
I mean, I gave it 4 stars. What do you want from me?
I wanted a 5 from you.
I wanted a 5, too.
I'm not giving it 5.
But then, last but not least, definitely a great one, one of my favorites, Creature from the Black Lagoon from 1954, directed by Jack Arnold. And, Zach, I know you're a big fan of this one.
My top 10 movies of all time. I love it.
This one, I think, does... I think this one does have a... It's a little bit longer than the other ones, I think.
It's only 1 hour 20.
Oh, really? Well, you give, hey, you really do a lot with those 10 minutes extra. I don't know. I think for this one, I think it has, like, one of the best, like, story progressions.
It's kind of unfair to praise this movie as high, like, higher than the other ones because it's almost 25 years later.
Well, for and, sure, like stories telling,
like so much more, like just like the underwater photography, like in general, is probably way more complex than anything that they did in The Invisible Man.
Yeah, just to figure out how to get a camera underwater and film it. Did they film it in a tank, like somewhere?
I would assume so.
I wonder how they like. So they just put the guys put the guy in a creature suit and he just had to hold his breath underwater? Did he have some sort of breathing thing?
I assume so. I mean, everybody seemed to have breathing things and they could probably could easily hide that inside the suit itself, right?
No, just hold your breath, pussy.
But I think this one sort of definitely has like a good like creepiness to it. Like the creature, like I said, like lurking in like the weeds and stuff, watching the girl swimming, watching the guy diving.
I just got put out with the like the hand. You know what I'm talking about? Like the thing's hand, like they're just trying to have it stick out of the water and that's what's terrifying. Just they played that card too much.
I mean, sure.
Just a little bit.
The only I have just one small qualm and it's It kind of ties into what you're saying, Chris, about like showing the hand too much. It's the creature's like theme that they just play too much, and like it's not always on cue either. Like sometimes like you see like the hand, and then you hear like the like they should be happening simultaneously. And there's just like some weird editing choices like that, like at some points in the movie. Where, like, the creature, like, they're in, like, the infirmary. You have, like, the window behind them. And then, like, the creature's, like, standing there. And then, like, it's in frame. And then you hear, like, the...
Hold on. Give me a second to adjust to this scary thing. And then, boom! Hit me with the music.
All that aside... I think some of the underwater stuff looks really good.
Yeah.
It looks super good. And, like, I don't know. Anything to do with just the creatures swimming around and stuff? I just love it. I'm all for it.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I wasn't super into this one. I like the whole idea behind it. Like, it's not... It's less of, like, a... I don't know. There's something coming after you, and it's more of like you're going after this thing simultaneously as it's coming after you. So it's not like every things are invading your space, but you're invading things' space.
Well, that's like some of the discussions that they have like in the movie about like whether or not what they're doing is like right.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's the one guy that wants to exploit it for money. Then there's the other people that are interested in like a strictly like scientific basis.
Yeah, Chris, did you even watch this thing?
Yeah, it did. I'm just making an acknowledgement of, like, that, I guess.
Like, the idea is that the Gilman is somewhat sympathetic because he didn't ask for any of this. It's right. Means, like, meddling in places where they shouldn't.
Correct.
I do think there's a lot of, like, dread that comes from being around the water in this, which I think is good. Like, when their boat gets stuck and they have to, like, go, like, they have to get into the water to try to unstuck themselves. I think that, like, builds, like, some actually pretty good suspense.
Well, I love the stuff with, like, the time that they put in the water to, like, try and, like, weaken him so that he comes to the surface. I like his lair.
I just like the overall costume design too of the creature.
I like his grunting.
Yeah. It was like a weird like pig squeal.
Pretty good grunting.
Like demonic grunting. Pig squeal, the sound he was making.
He kind of like, I liked it. He like walked like he basically walks as if he were a human in a suit. And then, like, the way that he's threatening is, like, the...
Can I hear that again, sir?
That hurts my throat.
I think of all of the movies, I would definitely like to see a remake of this one the most.
They did. It was called fucking Shape of Water.
Facts.
Kinda. I'd like to see definitely would like to see a remake of that. That would be great, I think.
My favorite part from Creature from the Black Lagoon is when they fuck, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Julia Adams.
So is there any explanation why the creature wants the woman so bad? Just because she's a hot girl?
Wouldn't you?
I mean, yeah, but...
I don't think there is an explanation.
Just that she's a cute girl.
Well, I think it's more just like... Maybe he doesn't even want her. Like, maybe he's just... not interested, but here she is invading his lands.
He's trying to kill her to get rid of the threat.
Yeah. He knows that a woman's period attracts bears, and that's not something he wants to mess with.
That makes sense.
Attracts bears.
That makes some sense. He doesn't want bears in his lagoon.
I think, like, one of the creepiest images from these movies is in this one, where they have him, like, in that makeshift tank on the boat, and it's just, like, his yellow eyes, like, shining at you.
Yeah, that one's good. Also like the setting the most of this one. Like, just being, like, out on, like, the jungle river, like, being in, like, an uncharted waters. Almost like an anaconda vibe.
I also think that, like, these people are somewhat terrible archaeologists. Like, they find this hand and they just, like, rip it out of the stone.
And they're, like, yeah. Grabbing everything. They're, like, grabbing it and twisting it around. Like, how the artifact needs to be handled.
That is a pretty good opening, though. Like the archaeological dig and the creature going up into the tent with the hand going through.
Jurassic Park did it better.
And the creature just murks those guys in the tent.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris, you're definitely the creature from the Black Lagoon.
You're always just carrying women away.
Get out of my swamp.
Yeah, they did. They remade Creature from the Black Lagoon. It's just Shrek.
Shrek with a little old Greg.
Shrek and some old Greg. It's attached to your rod, mother licker.
It is too bad that there was no line when the creature goes, "You want to go to a club where people wee on one another?"
No, instead we got...
I would love for the creature to be, like, under captivity and just be like, "I do watercolors. You know what I call this one? Old Greg." Can you guess what I call this one? Also Old Greg.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
Well, maybe I'll do to you like I did to Curly Jefferson.
Do you ever drink Bailey's from a shoe? I know what you're thinking. Here comes Old Greg, big scary man fish.
I want to hear it say that.
Yeah, that would be great. This guy just wants to meet the creature. Just wants to meet these guys on his boat.
Just wants to hang out.
Yeah, he wants to invite him back to drink Bailey's, but they're not interested. He just wants to go to a place where people wee on one another.
That's good shit. That's good shit.
What are you doing in these waters? Certainly not fishing. Well, how do you explain the hook in my head?
Now, don't you have an Invisible Man tattoo?
And a Dracula tattoo? And the Creature from the Black Lagoon tattoo?
Where's your, so when you're getting your Wolfman tat?
I don't know. Sometime.
You getting a mummy tat?
Yeah.
Oh, you're getting them all. You getting all 74 then?
All 74.
Nice. When's your Frankenstein tat? That one's got to be next.
I don't know.
What? How many like different monsters are there? Because I'm assuming some of these 74 are like sequels and stuff like that.
You want me to list all 74?
No, I'm just saying like how many different monsters are there?
Well, there's one called Tarantula, the Mole People, the Deadly Mantis.
There's Mole People.
It's not awesome.
The Leech Woman.
Wow, so there's a few monsters. When did they stop making them?
1960 looks like the last one.
That's a bummer. Good run with 30 years.
This tarantula one looks interesting.
It came.
Clint Eastwood's in. Oh wow.
There's the Abbott and Costello movies. The Brute Man.
She-Wolf. Isn't there one about like? Isn't there one with like ants?
Well, maybe.
Is Attack of the 50-Foot Woman a Universal Monster picture?
It doesn't look like it.
No.
Oh, Phantom of the Opera is another big one.
Oh yeah, that is a big one.
I've never seen Phantom of the Opera. The original, anyways.
What is 20 million miles to Earth? This one looks interesting.
Probably just a bunch of cunts on a spaceship somewhere.
20 million miles to Earth.
Very aggressive for just a nonchalant statement.
Well.
It's probably one of them stupid space movies.
We're making space movies.
I wonder where that guy is now.
Dead.
Probably in the Trillionaires Club.
He's in the Trillionaires Club. He's way out of our league.
Yeah.
Three Yellow Men, Trillionaires Club.
Let's see. Yeah, I don't know if I have much else to say about Creature from the Black Lagoon. Other than it's up there with my favorite. I don't know if I like this one or The Invisible Man. I actually think I like this one more, The Invisible Man.
like the Invisible Man more. That was my favorite.
But I'm still going to give this one a 5 stars.
I'm going to give this... I'm going to give it a 4.
Four.
But like a hard 4, you know?
So your Invisible Man was your favorite, Chris?
Yes.
Followed by Creature from the Black Lagoon?
Yeah, probably.
Chris, you've been given a hard 4 your whole life.
Yeah, you know me.
Yeah, we do.
All about that hard 4.
Which is good. I'm glad. You know, for a long time, I kind of wanted to watch these movies only for like the historical sense, and I'm glad we finally did. Some of them, at least. There's some more to watch.
We've only got 70 left.
So we'll just do one of these every year until we've watched them all.
Every year? Every day, dude. 5 of them every week until they're all watched.
Shouldn't take that long. A couple months. No longer than our sports bracket.
Which is still needs to be completed.
Oh yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there. Yeah, did you guys watch any other spooky movies though for Halloween?
I can mention briefly that I watched Frankenstein.
Yeah, tell us about it.
I like Frankenstein a lot. I think this probably would have been a better film to include than The Mummy.
I'm with you.
It is what it is.
So where'd you watch like, Frankenstein?
I own it.
Oh.
As if Zach wouldn't have Frankenstein. What are you thinking?
So I guess like the interesting detail of this is that the Dr. Frankenstein is looking for a brain to put in his creatures, and the brain that he steals is the brain of a criminal.
Mm.
So that's kind of what they use to explain why the creature is like the way that he is. There's a very hilarious scene where he throws a young girl into the river. That's hilarious. She dies. That's not funny, but I liked this one. I just think I don't know. I'm a very big fan of the book. This just doesn't really do it. I would love to see like a very faithful adaptation of the book.
Did you also watch Bride of Frankenstein?
Not yet.
Mm.
Like, I don't know. I like the movie for what it is, but it also like is very quick to disregard the complexity of the character of the creature just to have like a cheap monster movie.
And that's always the problem with those of that time. Because when they come out in the 30s as well?
Yeah, 1931.
Yeah, okay.
But I mean, like, Boris Karloff, I mean, it's directed by James Whale, who did The Invisible Man.
Mm-hmm.
Boris Karloff is great as the monster. And I mean, even Colin Clive as Dr. Frankenstein is very good. It's just like, I don't know, there's so much complexity to that character, and then just to be like, he evil. He kill people. And, like, he really only... I mean, he killed 2 people in the whole movie. Like, that's it. He, like, strangles one of the doctors, and then he, like... The scene kind of comes off as if he's playing with, like, the young girl. Because, like, he, like, comes out of the woods, and this young girl's, like, playing by the river, and she was like, do you want to play with me? And she's, like, throwing rocks, and then he, like, picks her up and throws her. So, I mean, it's... easily would be interpreted as like he meant this young girl like no harm, and then it's kind of like he's a monster, we must kill him, and they kill him in like what is probably one of the saddest, most ruthless things like I've ever seen. And like he's in this barn and they like burn the barn down, and he's like running through these like buildings, he's running through these rooms like where things are on fire, and he's just like huh, 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 like terrified. It's like Jesus Christ, like, the guy didn't really do that much wrong.
For like killed two people.
Yeah, one of them, yeah, he straight murdered. But one of them, I think you could argue, is manslaughter. That little
bit. So he didn't murder them. He just took their life away.
If you had a good lawyer, you're arguing for manslaughter on that child case.
I thought there was something about like him running away to Antarctica.
In the book, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's so disgusted with himself that he goes to like the ends of the earth not to hurt anybody.
But then Dr. Frankenstein chases him down just to kill him.
He chases him down to destroy his creation. Yeah.
Yeah, what a fuck.
I don't know. I've always heard the word on the street is that the Bride of Frankenstein is a lot better. And it kind of brings those complexities like back to the character.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be interested. I've never seen it. I'd be interested to watch it.
I haven't either.
Do Bride of Frankenstein and Frankenstein have a Frankenstein child?
Yeah, there's a movie called Son of Frankenstein.
Wow.
I have.
So he's still got some swimmers in that area, huh?
Big time.
Dude, I really hope there's a nice penetration scene in Bride of Frankenstein.
Or at least he just looks down and goes, ugh, and his dick fell off. He's like, ugh! And then he just tries to, like, jam it back on.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I'm pretty sure in the book, like, the creature can talk.
Yeah, because there's the whole scene with the philosophical conversation with the blind man.
Yeah.
About being, like, an outcast, and then the blind man touches his face and is repulsed by him.
What a cunt.
Yeah, what a dick.
We're blind. What do you know? It's like the blind man in Curb Your Enthusiasm who wants a hot girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, speaking of Curb, I finally watched that episode.
Oh, it's so good.
It's pretty funny. I definitely like the living funeral.
I love Leon holding, like, interviews for the girl that's going to replace his girlfriend on their trip to China.
That was really funny. And then his joke about, like, disgraced birds that fly that fly outside the flock because they're the goofy motherfuckers that flew into windows. Hilarious. I think this is going to be a pretty funny season with them, like, the through line of the Netflix show.
Should be good.
Does he get a Netflix show in this season?
Yeah, called Young Larry.
Oh my fucking gosh.
And based on the premise of...
The debate of, like, the plopper.
Yeah. The plopper's good. Basically... Oh, Larry spills wine on this woman's couch because Susie plops on the couch next to him and makes him spill his wine.
Fucking gosh. But he gets blamed for it because he spilled the wine.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, and he's trying to fight back against that.
But that's funny, like he's dating Lucy Liu in this episode. But then Lucy Liu dumps him because he walks into a sliding glass door.
Oh my fucking gosh. This guy's a fucking genius.
Yeah, I love Curb Your Enthusiasm. But yeah, there's a show, Young Larry. It's supposed to be like about a young Larry living in New York, and he's got this really wealthy uncle. And something like his uncle, like the premise of the show is going to be like his uncle will give him money if he goes to live with him. And so young Larry's trying to speed up his demise so that he can get all of his money.
It just seems like something he would do, though.
Yeah.
Like, not, he wouldn't poison him or anything, but he'd be like, you know what, I'm going to make you, like, greasy sausage and bacon every morning for breakfast with pancakes and syrup.
Yep, pretty much.
Holy fucking gosh.
Yeah, but then, like, what's funny is that Larry gets blackmailed into casting this, like, Latino woman as, like, the lead role.
To play Larry?
No, to play like this Jewish girl.
Oh.
And he gets blackmailed into casting this woman. It's going to be funny, I think.
Oh my gosh. I really gotta watch the show.
I'm guessing that he's going to ultimately end up tanking the show just so that he doesn't have to cast this woman. That's my guess.
I really got to watch that show.
You've not watched any of it?
I've watched some of it, but I haven't like watched it in chronological order. Like, I want to start at the beginning.
Oh, it's pretty good. Yeah, there's some pretty good episodes. I think the very first episode is like he gets these new pair of pants. And so, like, when he's sitting in the theater, like, his like, crotch area gets propped up. So this woman sitting next to him in the movie theater thinks he has a boner.
The only thing that I've seen in that show that, like, before I saw any of it that, like, made me laugh hysterically was when he's talking to the prostitute and he takes the prostitute to the baseball game.
Yeah, so you can use the HOV lane.
He was like, yeah. And she was like, I'll pull a titty out right here. He's like, don't pull a titty out. Don't you pull a titty out.
Yeah, the first season's not bad, but then once he gets to the second season, he's like he works for the car dealership. And that's when it starts to get really funny.
You really gotta watch it.
Oh no, the Spite Store season's really good.
The Spite Store is pretty good.
Is that where he starts the coffee shop?
Yeah.
Yep.
And he has the bathroom designs that you can only pee.
Yes. Yeah, you can't poop.
It's so stupid. Oh, shit.
Yeah, I was only watching these movies this week, so I got really nothing else. You guys got anything?
I mean, I watched Osmosis Jones, but that's about it.
Oh, do tell.
I love Osmosis Jones.
Not much to say. It's comedy gold.
I haven't seen that in so long.
The only part I remembered about that movie was the part where Bill Murray's zit pops on that lady.
Yep.
Ugh.
And he's like, his daughter wants him to go on a class trip. But he's trying to, like, figure out a way to get out of it because the daughter's teacher has a restraining order against him, so he can't go.
Oh, my gosh.
Good stuff. Nothing else for you guys?
Nothing.
That's 2 hours of Universal Monster Talk. What else do you want?
And that's good stuff. That's good stuff. Always always fun to do these Halloween episodes.
Halloween.
Any thoughts on what we might do next week?
I mean, you got a lot of choices.
Look, what do you got?
Lamb.
Yep.
Last Night in Soho.
Oh, there we go. That's what we're doing.
Antlers.
Is Antlers playing near you guys?
Playing at Bangor Mall Cinemas.
Okay, cool. I mean, I definitely want to go see that. So, if you guys want to do like a double bill or something, I'm fine with that.
I can definitely do one. I don't know if I'll get to both.
I think we should do Last Night in Soho.
Is Last Night in Soho playing in our area?
Jesus Christ, Chris, let me look.
What? I'm just saying, I'm not driving to Waterville to go see this shitty movie.
It's an Edgar Wright movie. You love Edgar Wright.
Yeah, I guess I do.
Yes, it's playing at Bangor Mall Cinemas and Spotlight.
I don't believe you. But I guess we'll make it work. I'll do it.
Yeah, let's do Last Night in Soho then.
Works for me.
Cool. Well, as always, thanks for joining us on this special Halloween episode, the spooktacular Halloween episode.
My gosh.
Come back next week for our review in Last Night in Soho. And as always, be safe out there. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.